to be here. I enjoyed Sunday school after we got started in it. Now, we were dealing with a crazy computer, and I'm sorry that we didn't get to see the slides. Maybe sometime in the future I'll come back and I'll have a Windows 7 or something like that and we'll get to see them. But 10 wouldn't work. Now, I usually have prayer cards with me. I've been running and running and running and running. And that means that I'm out of things. I don't have what I need here. As a matter of fact, I just didn't. Mark said I need to get my wife to write an instructive sheet on how to run that computer. Well, I probably do. But she tells me everything else, so she may as well do that. But she knows how to do it. Now, usually I have prayer cards, but today I have these anchors. And I want everybody that wants one to have one, until they run out, okay? So they're in this bag, and I'll try to remember to take it down to the table in the back when I get through. If not, they're on that chair right there, okay? Very, very good. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Wonderful missionary passage. Matthew chapter 28. And we'll begin at verse number 16. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 16. Where the Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus, and I want you to notice this, had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And verse number 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the Great Commission. And if I were to title the message, I would title it, Our Marching Orders. Our marching orders. Now, I've had orders several times in my life. When I joined the Air Force, I had orders to go to Texas. I carried my orders. From Texas, I went to Colorado. I carried my orders. From Colorado, I went to Kunsan, Korea. I went there on orders of the government. I was supposed to go to King Salman, Alaska after my tour in Korea. And the captain came in and said, you're not going to King Salman. Well, that's where I want to go. He said, you're not going. You have new orders. And I said, what are my new orders, captain? He said, you're going to Saigon, Vietnam. And you'll work between Saigon, Long Bien, and Ben Hoa. I left Korea. It was about 20 degrees Fahrenheit. I landed on the tarmac in Saigon. It was 120 degrees on the tarmac. You talk about a shift. I had on a wool Air Force winter jacket or winter coat. I lost it somewhere between the plane and the terminal, and I've never seen it again. It's gone. You talk about hot. And then I got orders to go to New Mexico. They say, how many years did you spend in the Air Force? 4. I mean, and I never went with a squadron. I never went anywhere with a group. I was always just, you're going. I said, who's going with me? Nobody. And that's how it worked. And I worked my particular AFSC allowed me to do that. And in Vietnam, I worked with a 7602nd Air Intelligence Group. A lot of my friends say, how in the world did you ever do that? But anyway, that was my part of it with the logistics. But I had orders. Now, here we have our orders. These are the orders to the church. To the church. The Great Commission is marching orders to the church. A church that was built during Christ's earthly ministry. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that. He built his church. He built his church. Now, I grew up around ships. Now, I spent 40 years away, but then God called me back to the coast, back to the water. My wife said, I never want to live on the coast again. We'll retire and go to Kentucky. I said, well, she doesn't talk like that. She talks too sweet for me to even be able to mimic it. She said, it's just too hot and too humid. And when God called me back down there, gave me orders from headquarters, she said, I've gone everywhere you've ever felt led to go, wherever God's led you. And she said, I'll grit my teeth and I will go. And she loves it. She's back on the coast, and it is hot, it is humid. But you know what? It's hot and humid in Memphis, Tennessee. It is today, but the Lord gave me orders. He said, you're not pastoring Elliott Baptist Church anymore. You're going to do this work. I said, okay. That's what you want. That's what we'll do. I said, Lord, what am I going to do for funds? You go find them. You go raise them. You go do that. And God's been so good to me in that. Been so good. And He's such a wonderful, wonderful God. But I grew up on the water. My dad was a shipbuilder. Worked for Ingalls Shipbuilding Corporation. That's now owned by Northrop Grumman. And I learned a lot about building ships. And you never build a ship without first gathering the material. You gather it. You don't say, well, we need this today. No, you better have it all there. You know, things will come in at times, but to start, you better have everything you need. And Jesus gathered the material for the church. Did he not? He gathered the apostles, and then he added them in to the keel. He placed some in the church first, apostles. And the Protestants can't get that. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? The church was empowered. Here's what I found out about commissionings, and I get to go to commissionings. I get special passes, and I can go to the commissioning of the ships, and I could tell you all about that. But one thing about the commissioning of a ship, you never commission a ship until it's built. Never. Never. Now, people say, well, we have the Great Commission that God gave to His church, but He didn't actually start the church until the day of Pentecost. Won't fly. You never commission a ship until it's built. The ship was built. He gave the commission. And then, you know what happened? I went to the commissioning of the USS Jackson recently in Gulfport. And the XO, executive officer, was told by the captain, and the Navy's the only brace that I know that the captain has a higher rank than the commander. You know, you can be a commander, but that doesn't mean you're high. The captain's it. I mean, that's the way it is on ship. But the captain said, all right, XO, power up the ship. And he, at the microphone, said, power up! The ship, we have our commission. You never power up a ship until it's built. You can't, and it already has to be commissioned before you can power it up. It makes sense that He built His church. He did. John the Baptist gathered the material. Jesus built His church. He gave it the commission before the day of Pentecost. Then He empowered it on the day of Pentecost. It's biblical. The commissioning is the empowerment of authority. And then you get the power after that commissioning. Now, I want us to notice an assignment after an appointment. Matthew 28:16 says in the last few words there, Jesus had appointed them. They were at a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So He appointed them, and there's going to be an assignment after that appointment. Now, this appointment is an appointment that will change the world. This is an appointment that will change the landscape of things. And as these disciples had been appointed to be with Jesus, we too have an appointment. We have an appointment. Our appointment is not to receive orders, for that was done on the day of Pentecost. We've got our, not on the day of Pentecost, but there in Matthew 28, He gave us our orders. We have our orders. Our appointment is in the future where we will give an account as to what we did here. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, the reason for the resurrected Christ's appointment with His disciples was to give them, and they were the church that received that assignment that He gave them. They were appointed to receive an assignment. And what was the assignment? The Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the elect. Does it say that? It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Little Filipino, big Chinese. Amen? We are to get the gospel to every person. I witness to them. I give them the gospel. Hey, here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You say, how do you know that's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, I declare unto you the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Old Testament Scriptures. And that He was buried. But the grave couldn't hold Him. And on the third day, He arose. And I tell them that over and over and over again, because that's the message they need to hear. Friday night, I preached from Romans chapter 5 to the men. And I got down there to free gift. Free gift. Many of them are raised in Catholicism, raised in religions that believe you have to work your way to heaven. I took my watch off and I said, Leo, take my watch. And he did. And I said, it's a gift. He said, oh. And I said, but you've got to pay me $10 a month for the next 2 years. He handed it back. I said, now, was that a gift? He said, no, it's not a gift if you have to pay for it. I said, why in the world do some of you believe that you've got to keep working for and paying for what Jesus already paid for? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, by the commission, the gospel has been preached all over the world. People say, well, you ought to go to China. You ought to go here. Hey, they're coming to me. I don't have to go to Thailand, although I'm glad that Paul Brown Sr. is there. He's doing a great job. What a blessing. But they're coming to me. The Russians are coming to me. Oh, I have the best time with Russians. Because they are so stoic. I go on board the ship and... Biblia. Don't want that. I did that on a ship right after Halloween. I always know that you can buy candy cheap after Halloween. So I went by Dollar General where you can buy it cheaper than cheap. And I don't know why. I put two bags in my backpack. Now, let me tell you about a backpack. When I was going to school, you had to use a book satchel. I'm that old. Had a book satchel. Or you just had to carry your books. Had a girl one time told me over in Biloxi, I was going to Michelle, and she said, "Would you carry my books for me?" Real pretty girl. And I said, "Yeah." And I'm carrying her books, and this boy runs across Father Ryan Boulevard at full speed and cold cocks me right in the jaw. She had me carry her books to make her boyfriend jealous. Had to go to the chiropractor. Get it popped back in. From then on, if a girl told me to carry her books, I said, "Carry you home." No more of that stuff. Oh, my, my. But I carried a book satchel. And on the ship, you need to have, you got to have 3-point. In other words, you got to have a 3-point connection going up or down gangways and that. So it's hard to go through a gangway. Most of them are about that wide, and I'm about that wide. And so you've got to have your hands free. And I said, "I don't know how I'm going to get the Bibles and books on board." And then I watched an educational program called Dora the Explorer. And I noticed that Dora, every time she had to get something or whatever, she'd call out, "Backpack, backpack." And all this stuff was in the backpack. I said, "That's it." And I went and bought me a backpack, and I have been okay ever since. I packed that thing up and go. But I went, I had that candy in my backpack, and I gave that Russian, tried to give him mine. "Don't want Biblia." He was mad. It was an old ship, and they had been through a rough time, and I understand that. And anyway, they're kind of the meanest people I meet. And I love them. And I smiled at him, and I threw my backpack down on the hole of the ship, and I unzipped the backpack, and I grabbed a bag of that candy, and I just plopped it down on the hole of the ship, one of the holes there that was covered. He said, "What's that?" I said, "Candy." "How much?" I said, "Free." He said, "For me?" I said, "If you'll share with your friends." He said, "Okay. You still have Biblia?" They got to know that you're not there trying to sell them something. And that's their concern, because they've been cheated so many times. And he took that Bible and held it. What a blessing. What a blessing to get the Word out. Oh, dear friends, that appointment, that assignment, to go into the world is real. We talked about Adoniram Judson. He's one of my heroes. Beyond the Golden Shore. If you've never read that book, Courtney, and I can't think of the last name, but Beyond the Golden Shore about Adoniram Judson, you will start reading and you'll just can't. It's a big old thick book, but you'll read and read and you'll stay up 3 days. And I mean, it's just, no, not really, but it's a great book. Read that. The life of Adoniram Judson. Great missionaries have gone because they took it seriously. William Carey, he's my number one. I love William Carey. He was a Baptist. Now, Adoniram Judson was a Congregationalist until he got on board ship and started studying, as you know, and going to prove to William Carey that infant baptism was the only real baptism. He was a scholar. He studied. And when he got there, he said, "I need to be baptized by immersion, the hands of the church." What a blessing. What a blessing. So we see the assignment of the commission, and here we see the strength of commission in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And dear friends, the commission is only as strong as the one who gives it. I can't do much of commissioning about anything, can I? I don't have the strength to do a lot of commissioning. But our commission is from a commissioning officer who has all power. All power. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. How much power is given unto our commander, unto our captain? All power. All powerful. The Greek word power there is talking about exousia. And it's talking about authority. It's talking about the fact that he has the authority. And the message is a powerful message. He's given us the commission. He has the power to do that. But the message that we have is a powerful message. For listen to me. Romans 1 in verse number 16. The Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why am I not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Dear friends, listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is not salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. I never want to be accused of not preaching the gospel. If anything, I want to be known as a gospel preacher. Preaching Christ, who died for sinners, was buried and rose again. Let's look at the scope of the commission. The Great Commission has an earthly dimension. We preach the gospel to folks. We preach the gospel to flesh and blood, to human beings. I was thinking about Revelation 14 and verse 6. Where it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And do you know the elect will come from every kindred, tongue, and nation of people? God has a people. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So let's preach it. I would never make a good primitive. I believe the gospel needs to be preached, has to be preached. We need to get the gospel out. Amen. Preach it. Preach it, brother. Preach it. One of these days, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. He won't be their Lord, not all of them, but every knee shall bow because He is the King. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him what? Lord of all. There's a heavenly dimension to the Great Commission. In fulfilling the Great Commission, we reach those people who have been given unto Jesus by the Father. And they hear the gospel, receive Christ. I love a radio program called Unshackled. Have any of y'all ever heard Unshackled? Oh man, I love Unshackled. That's one of those programs I listen to and the men will listen. And the miracles of grace. Brother Earl Smith, some of you remember Brother Earl Smith. He went up to Pacific Garden Mission every year to preach up there until he was near his death. He loved to go up there because 1879 is when that mission started and it's still going. And people are being transformed by the gospel, not by social programs. Amen. The gospel. It's a heavenly dimension. The commission fulfilled tells the saved sinner that when he dies, he's got a home. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I like that. the charge that we have in the commission. The charge is to go into all the world. I charge you to do this. Preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach, preach, preach. Go ye into all the world, Matthew 28:19, words it like this, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's the way it ought to be done. I don't believe in Jesus only and baptizing in Jesus' name only. I believe we ought to do it by the biblical instruction and pattern in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. We need to go to a hurting world, a disillusioned world, a cynical world, a lost and dying world. It's out of this hurting world that we are to teach and make disciples. Methuselah. I've been teaching the men off of the big pipe layer, Deep Blue, for most of the time I've been doing the work. They go out and lay pipe, they come back and re-spool. And they've grown so much. And 7 or 8 of them have come to Christ. And they're finding churches in the Philippines. What a blessing. What a blessing. Such a good thing. And you know where Paul said, Christ called me not to baptize? I baptized for years and years and years. But now I have a ministry where I don't do the baptizing. That's in the hands of others, amen. But bless the Lord, I understand that better. Now, the disciples faithfully used the means that they had. And I believe that their methods are still the best. Matthew 5:42, and daily in the temple and every... And in every house they cease not to teach and to preach the gospel. We've got many ways to get the gospel out now. One way to get it into the homes is by way of radio and other things. I don't tell people to go and look for a television preacher. Man, some of them are off base. Bad off base. But we get the gospel in. And used to, when I, in 1972, one and two, man, we went house to house, people would invite you in. Now they'll threaten to throw the dog on you. It's a different world we live in, but that doesn't take away the commission, amen. The mission, the method may be different, but the commission is the same. I don't go house to house anymore. I go ship to ship. I did that on Friday. I got there a little early to the Deep Blue. I saw that the Reyes de Velita was there. I said, I'm going to just run over there real quick. I got time. Talked to one of the gals that's at the gangway and said, you know what kind of crew? Well, I think they're Filipino, man. I loaded up my Dora backpack and took off. Hot, hot, sweaty. Ran up that day. Well, maybe I didn't run up the gangway. But I did get up there, and those fellows said, oh, you must be chaplain. We saw your van. We were hoping you would stop. Wouldn't it have been sad if I'd have drove on back by and not taken the time to run up there? And I handed, oh, thank you, gave them Tagalog and Cebuano. Oh, thank you. Our language. Our language. Get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. And then baptized is what I was after I came to know the Lord. Amen? Now, baptism is authorized and commanded for those who receive Christ. Only for those who receive Christ. Now, Baptists have always believed in a regenerated church membership. Now, I grew up in the Mormon church. I grew up in the Josephite Mormons. We're organized Church of Latter-day Saints of the Latter Days out of Independence, Missouri. And I was taught that your good must outweigh your bad, and the better you are, the higher heaven you get, and you may even get to the place where you have your own planet with a number of wives. Does that sound like another religion? And I was in that. I mean, my family, I've got pictures of me as a baby in my mother's arms there at the Mormon church. But there was a Baptist preacher who God sicked on me when I was a teenager, and he came to the grocery store where I worked, Broom's Grocery, and day in and day out. Man, I think he quit shopping anywhere else but there. God put me on his heart. And he's a country man, a country preacher, had spent 20 years in the Air Force. He'd come in there and say, "Hey, boy, you saved?" I said, "Yes, sir." We were taught to say that. He said, "You're not saved. You're lost." Then I got to where when I'd see him come through the door, I worked in produce. I'd just run through those two back doors, you know, the swinging doors, and go back there. Then he'd open the door back there and say, "You back here?" I mean, God sicked him on. I mean, why in the world would anybody do that? But that was God's way. And finally, he pigeonholed me and he said, "Why don't you come to church on Sunday?" I said, "I'm not coming on a Sunday." He said, "What about Wednesday night?" And I was working at A&P then. Some of you are old enough to remember A&P. I don't know if there's one left around here or not, but there's one in New Orleans. They keep it for, I think, old time's sake. But anyway, he said, "Why don't you come on Wednesday night?" So I had to talk to my manager, Vito Canazero. That's some of them coast names, you know. And I asked Mr. Vito, I said, "Can you change my schedule a little? This preacher won't leave me alone." And I started going on Wednesday nights. And one Wednesday night, he preached the gospel. I mean, he preached it all the time. But I didn't hear it. Now, you understand what I'm saying? I didn't hear it. And then that night, something happened. And I heard something I'd never heard before. Although I had heard it before. Are you with me? He preached the gospel plain and simple. Men are depraved, unable to help themselves. It must be all of God. And there in the East Howard Baptist Church in Biloxi, Mississippi, on a Wednesday night, no invitation given. Most of them were giving them, but not. He didn't give an invitation on Wednesdays. And there in the pew, I was born again. Regenerated. New birth. I believe that's what Jesus talked to John about. "Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." I must be bothering that thing. I don't know. But anyhow, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't be born again. What does the Bible say? Preacher was preaching, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'd never heard that in the Mormon church. My grandma Goff, I never saw her with but two books. Well, actually three books. The Book of Mormon, the biography of Joseph Smith, and a King James Bible. That's all I ever saw her with. My grandma and Grandpa Goff are both in hell, as far as I know, along with my uncles on that side. When I came to know the Lord, I went to my Uncle George, who was an elder in the Mormon church, and I sat down outside. They had those metal chairs that looked like a shell. And I went and sat down by him, and I said, "Brother, I said, "Uncle George," I said, "I've been saved." He said, "I heard you supposedly were." I said, "No, sir, it's not supposed. I am saved." And I said, "I want you to explain one or two verses for me." He said, "Go ahead." I said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God,
not of works, lest any man should boast. He got up out of that chair, walked to the back of the house, went in through the back porch screen door into the kitchen. He never came back out. Never answered it because he couldn't. He couldn't. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. If you're here today trusting in your works, you're not going to heaven. Amen? And only those who have been truly born again are candidates for scriptural baptism. It's good to be with you. God bless you.